This is the STN Sports Report on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@SportsTalkNetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The STN Sports Report with Brad Kurtzberg starts now.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to the STN Sports Report. Brad Kurtzberg, happy to be with you here on this Tuesday afternoon, talking about everything going on in the world of sports, and we got plenty to get to today. A lot still on the minds of football fans. Let's start with that as far as the entire situation with Bounty Gate and the New Orleans Saints. And, of course, former Saints defensive coordinator Greg Williams was in town in New York yesterday answering some questions from league officials. Certainly not looking good for Williams, but as of right now, he will remain the defensive coordinator of the St. Louis Rams. It just becomes a question of how long it'll be until he is able to actually get behind the bench or get on the sidelines again and coach, because a suspension is unquestionably going to be coming down in that instance. And as of right now, and I think in the long run this is a good thing, the ownership of the Saints is sticking with the coach and the general manager right now, Sean Payton, a very respected head coach. But you know what? He is going to pay a price for what happened, and rightfully he should, because here's the deal. There are really only two choices here when it comes to Sean Payton. Either he knew about this and more or less looked the other way, which I think is probably the most likely outcome when you think about it, or he didn't know about it, but as the head coach, it's his job to know about it. So either he knew or he should have known, and either way, it does not bode well for Sean Payton as far as responsibility for this entire mess is concerned. Right now, again, I still think we are at a point where we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg when it comes to all of this, and you know, more information is going to become available, and this bounty gate is going to explode before it calms down, and we'll see how it plays out. But right now, the Saints organization and ownership is at least sticking by the coach and the general manager, and we'll see how long they're able to do that when the penalties and suspensions and fines and everything else start coming in. But it is going to be a very delicate and interesting situation. We have got a lot to talk about today right here on the STN Sports Report. A big vote coming up in Sacramento today, dealing with the new arena for the Sacramento Kings. If it passes, the Kings stay in town, and we're going to have a guest to discuss that situation and what's going on with the Kings in just a couple of minutes. We'll also have someone to talk a little Nashville Predators hockey today. So plenty going on, and of course the NCAA tournament's getting underway. A big time major league pitcher is going to be taking the mound for the first time in over a year, an exhibition ball. So lots to talk about. Stay with us right here on the STN Sports Report. We'll be right back.
Going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford. Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you could stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
This is the STN Sports Report on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@SportsTalkNetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The STN Sports Report with Brad Kurtzberg starts now.
And welcome back to the STN Sports Report. Brad Kurtzberg with you here. And without further ado, I'd like to go straight to our first guest. She is Aileen Voisin of the Sacramento Bee. And Aileen, thanks for coming on the show today.
No, it's my pleasure, Brad.
Big vote coming up today and for the Sacramento Kings and their new arena. What is the latest you have as far as our listeners are concerned with this vote coming up?
Pretty much the vote. Is going to pass. They've got, they need to pass by a simple majority, which is five votes out of nine. And those five votes are pretty much locked in already. They're hoping to vote, pardon my cold here, by the way, also. they're
okay.
Hoping to get, the possibility the vote will go 6-3 or 9 or 7-2. But the vote is, you know, expected to pass. The five people have already pretty much confirmed voting for it, even though there'll have to be some hearing on it tonight, you know.
And what does this vote mean for the long-term viability of the Kings in Sacramento?
Well, this is huge because this is this moves forward the term sheet and says they go ahead and go forward. Now start, you know, entertaining the parking companies that have bid to privatize the parking, and then when you know that's where the large chunk of the funding for this is going to come from. They anticipate $200 million plus coming from the parking, you know, because Sacramento, because all the state workers, it's got such an abundance of parking downtown, and at night it just sits there, right, not being utilized, and so the company's going to privatize those. There's 13 bidders, I believe, on that. So they've got a pretty robust bidding process going on there, and then so they'll get the parking resolved and choose a company, and then go on from there. So today's very significant. It's symbolic as much as anything, but you know, there's still details to work out in the rest of things. But this is pretty important. This means something. Let's go ahead and go and get the RFP done and start moving. So this is a significant vote tonight.
And what has the fan reaction been to this? To the idea that the team is most likely going to be staying in town.
Yeah, you know, people are just ecstatic about that. But they're also a bit skeptical because they're like, they've been down this road so many times with, you know, arena proposals that looked like they were going to go and then didn't go. And so everybody's kind of people. A lot of people are after the initial euphoria, a little bit like, okay, well, let's get it done. Everything's got to be signed, you know, finally, and then they can really buy into it. So I think they're just a little bit, you know, just afraid that, you know, something at the last minute could ruin the deal or something. But, you know, euphoria when they heard that the deal was, there was an agreement reached. And the fact that, you know, that David Stern in the NBA is backing this and is very involved in it, I think people take comfort in that, you know, because David Stern's not going to get involved in the deal this intimately and whatnot. He brought AEG in, increased their input, their amount of money that they're contributing here. So there's a lot of people have a lot invested in this, a lot of political leaders that really stepped up on this, which they had not done in the past. So you just had a combination of things, you know, including Kevin Johnson, the mayor, who really got this thing rolling last April.
So good news for the fans in Sacramento. Now, on the court, the Kings picked up the option for Keith Smart as the coach is going to be back next year at the very least. What does that say to the team and their fans as far as keeping Smart around for another season?
Well, I mean, you know, I kind of questioned it today. I don't understand why they would make that move now. If, you know, 8 weeks into a season, you've still lost, what I believe, 11 out of the last 14 games. Progress in a lot of ways. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins has gotten much better. They play faster. Keith has taken the ball out of Tyreek's hands and uses him more as a small forward because we all know he's not a point guard. So you can just see a lot of progress. Ball movement's better. But, yeah, we kind of wondered here, why would you make that decision now and not at the end of the year? I mean, there's a lot of – my point was that there were a lot of really, really good coaches sitting out there, an unusual number of really high-profile coaches available at the end of this year, including, you know, Jerry Sloan's out there, Phil Jackson's out there, Jeff Van Gundy's starting to make noises about wanting to come back and coach, Don Nelson's there. And, you know, you're going to have a pretty good team. You're going to have another high draft pick, unless you make a major trade here. You're very well slotted. They've got tremendous cap flexibility, which means they can go big time into free agency. So it's an enviable job. And I was like, my question to Jeff Petrie was, why are you making this decision now? Why don't you just wait? And his, you know, his response, his statement was, as always, well, he likes the way the direction of the team is, the style of play. And, you know, what we've seen this repeatedly. I mean, Jeff tends to push the Maloofs to pick up the contract of his coach, you know, months before they have to actually make a decision. He did this with Paul Westphal. He did this with Rick Adelman repeatedly. You know, it's just my thought would be, you know, why make a decision before you have to make a decision? It's not like Keith Smart was going to you know, get up and go anywhere. I mean, he wanted to stay here. You know, maybe wait for the last week or something and get better feel. I just thought the timing was, you know, which is very typical for Jeff, is just very premature.
Mm. DeMarcus Cousins has been slumping as of late. What do you think he needs to do to sort of get his game back in gear?
Yeah, he has. He's been inconsistent, which is unusual because he's been very, very consistent. He was a double-double machine. I think he looks tired to me. I think the All-Star break, you know, he's one of these guys, his conditioning is not great. It's getting better. And I think that, you know, I think it, those couple days off didn't help him. So he looked fatigued to me the last couple games. But I think that, you know, again, the games continue here. He'll start playing more, getting more minutes, and he'll get his play himself into shape. And that's a huge part with him. When he plays hard, he's very competitive. I just think he still needs to lose a little bit of weight and just, you know, keep working on his conditioning. And, you know, the offense is, you know, they don't have a point guard. So it's very hard for a really a young, talented big like a DeMarcus Cousins to really get his offense. He's still developing a low post game. He likes to play a little bit away from the basket where he can see and he can find people. But, you know, you don't have a point guard to set him up, and I think that's hard. I mean, Isaiah Thomas has been wonderful. He looks like somebody who can be a very effective backup point guard in this league. You know, Jimmer Fredette is showing signs of being a contributor as like a 1-2 who can really shoot it. Tyreke Evans is basically a 2-3. He's not a point guard. So, you know, you've got to get, especially with young teams, I mean, you see it everywhere. I mean, you don't because you have Kyrie Irving where you are, but, you know, these young teams in particular need these steady leading, you know, playmaking, floor-leading point guards, and it's hard when you don't have that. So teams that get in that don't let the Kings run and get out in transition and utilize their athleticism and quickness, the Kings will struggle. Defensively, they're not where they should be. They don't defend in transition very well. That's an issue. So, you know, I think Keith has come in and done a good job. I mean, they were a mess when he took over. They were 2-7. And, you know, the offense had been pretty much one-dimensional for the last 2 years. Give the ball to Tyreke and everybody watch him dribble and get out of his way. And so Keith has really tried to change that. And, you know, you don't have a lot of practice time. But, you know, I see a lot of improvement. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to start winning some of those games, you know.
Trade deadline is coming up pretty soon. Do you think the Kings will be looking to make some kind of a move?
I do think they'll look to make a move. Don't know what it's going to be. I mean, there has been some talk that Tyreke Evans' name has been mentioned in moves. But I think they'd be very careful about moving him because they think he is such a talent. You know, it's just a question of finding where to play him, how to best utilize him. And again, you don't have a point guard, you know, to set people up. So that makes it even harder to figure out just how, you know, how effective Tyreke can be off the ball here. But I do hear his name mentioned. I wouldn't be surprised. They would love to get rid of J.J. Hickson, by the way. He's been a major disappointment here. Not that I understand that you guys are thrilled with Omri Caspi either, but...
As far as Hickson, he's listed as day-to-day with a back injury. Any idea when he'll be back in the lineup?
No, it you know, could be this week. It could be next week. Honestly, I don't think they're in any great rush to have him come back because he was just not very effective. And, you know, they're giving looks to other people now. Hassan Whiteside got in the game last night and did some good things. So Hickson, I think, if he comes back, it's not a big issue. I think they'd let him go at the end of the year if they don't trade him.
Right.
Before then.
Kings have a 9-game home stand coming up, which is a record for the franchise. What would the team need to show over these 9 games to make it successful?
You know, I don't know if you could put a number on it. I mean, I certainly think some of the games are tough. You know, you have Dallas coming in here, Minnesota's coming in here. But I think it's your home court, and I think, you know, that's the first step for any team to show progress, right, is that you win, you know, the majority of your games at home, and especially against the teams that you should beat. They play New Orleans here Wednesday. There's no excuse for not winning that game. So I think if they won, I would say, you know, maybe 6 out of 9, and really played well in all the games, just gave a good effort and showed progress. And I think that would be considered improvement. And I think they've got a chance to do that. I mean, 9 games is a long time to fatten up. You know, you get some momentum going. You don't have to travel. They're healthy, with the exception of J.J. and his back. I mean, it's been a relatively healthy year. So, and, you know, as teams get tired, I mean, they've got some depth. So I think that this next month is going to show a lot about, you know, where they need to go in the off season in terms of moves, you know, and whatnot. I would like to see what Keith Smart did with this bunch, you know, for 9 games, have a whole month with them at home, and then think about making a decision on, you know, whether you're going to retain him and give him a multi-year deal, or you're going to look for somebody, a more established coach. Again, I just don't understand the timing of that decision. Just strikes me as very odd.
Yeah, it is a bit curious. You mentioned that they will have some cap room in the offseason with regards to free agency. Has there been any talk as to who the Kings may be targeting for next season?
Well, you know, not really, but, you know, clearly their needs are point guard, and they need length, and they need shooting. So, you know, just go down the list of who's available or, you know, who's going to be, who's possibly traded. I mean, you know, they've looked at Andre Miller as a point guard to try to pick up. They've looked at, you know, maybe Brandon Rush is available, somebody like that. You know, or maybe they do something more dramatic with a Tyreek trade and go after, you know, try and get involved with a three-team trade or something to try and get Rondo. They love Rondo. But
right.
You'd have to give a lot. You'd have to get another team involved, I'm sure, because they're not going to give up Cousins. But
right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Just that would be what they're looking at. They definitely look for, you know, point guard probably number one, shooting and length, because they're just not very big up front.
And just to bring the conversation full circle before we let you go, do you think the signing of this new arena deal, assuming that all the T's get crossed and the I's get dotted, will help the Kings bring in possible free agents and make them more of a desirable team for players to go to?
I mean, you hear that, but I've never bought that it's about the building. I always believe it's about the way you operate your franchise. When the Kings were good with Vlade and Peja and Weber, they didn't have any trouble pursuing free agents and getting free agents. I mean, people wanted to play here because it was a great team, good style of play. They liked playing for Rick Adelman. The community embraced the team. I think some of that is a little bit overdone. I think it's how you create your environment with your organization and success. And, you know, teams that are successful draw players. You know, you may not, maybe it won't be a Dwight Howard, but so what? You know, not so sure I want Dwight Howard. You know, I'm too concerned about where he plays instead of just winning where he is. That's always, I find, a bit troublesome, you know. But there's ways to win, you know. And there's plenty of, you know, plenty of players out there if you set yourself up. You know, trades, free agency, and drafting. But I think the arena will certainly, it can't hurt, right? You know, it's, you know, maybe as you move your way up toward, back toward getting respectable, having a brand new building certainly helps. But you can look around the other cities around the league, and it hasn't done a whole lot for Charlotte, right?
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, so it's not the building. It's a piece of it, but it's not as big a piece. You know, it helps teams survive economically. That's where that comes in, you know, in my opinion, because the revenue streams enable you to go out and spend money on free agencies. And to remain viable economically, that's where that comes in. And I don't think players, it's all about the money. You know, this other stuff is all tangential. And they want to know, A, where the money is, and they want to win. Those are the two issues, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, Aileen Voisin, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a few minutes. And good news for Kings fans. It looks like the team will be staying in Sacramento.
Well, Brad, great talking to you. Anytime.
All right. Thank you so much. And again, you can read Aileen's insights into the game and at the Sacramento Bee. And glad we got a few minutes with her. And you know what? I have to say this. Franchise free agency, the idea that teams move around a lot, never really was all that appealing to me. I mean, I understand the need for it when there are no revenue streams coming in and teams are flat out losing money seemingly no matter what they do. But, you know, the thing about sports that makes it a little bit different from any other business or job is or corporation is that there's a certain amount of loyalty that comes along with being a fan. Not too many people invest emotionally in Walmart, okay? Nobody is getting passionate about it. But people get passionate about their sports teams in a way that they don't get passionate about a lot of other businesses. And the idea of loyalty and the idea of sticking by fans that stick by you sort of has been lost, I think, a lot in the last 20 years, maybe 10 years especially. And I just don't like to see teams moving at the drop of a hat. So I think it's very good overall that the Sacramento Kings will be staying in Sacramento. And look, that's the one major league sports team in that city. So as far as professionals go, a good thing for the city of Sacramento, and I think a good thing for the Kings. You know, as I mentioned, also the Vikings announced in the NFL that they will be staying in Minnesota with a stadium deal getting done there. They've been there since 1961. I mean, that's you know, that's a long, long time. That's 50 years plus of football there, and you just want to see the loyalty of fans who come and invest their emotional invest their emotions in a team and buy the tickets and support the team day in and day out. You don't want to see them have their team disrupted and taken away from them. It's one thing if nobody's coming to the building, but if the fans are supporting the team, you absolutely do want to see them stay. And I think that that's an important thing when all is said and done. And again, good news for Sacramento Kings fans that the team will be staying in town for sure, pending this vote. As of right now, a couple of notes from the NBA, from the NFL, rather, before we get on to our next guest. And first of all, a couple more franchise tags announced yesterday, and the New England Patriots are going to put the franchise tag on wide receiver Wes Welker. And, you know, that's at least $9.5 million this year for Welker if they have to sign that franchise tag tender offer. You know, you would think that the Patriots and Welker will come to an agreement. Everybody's still talking about that one pass he didn't catch in the Super Bowl. You know, but Welker is a quality receiver. He has almost like telepathy when it comes to Tom Brady. There's no way the Patriots are going to let him get away. I think that this, beyond the shadow of a doubt, was a very wise use of the franchise tag by the Patriots, and you got to keep a guy like that in town. Meanwhile, the San Diego Chargers are not using the franchise tag on wide receiver Vincent Jackson. They used it on him last year, but this year they're going to stay away from that, and we shall see whether or not they're able to sign Jackson or whether he leaves in free agency. But as of right now, Vincent Jackson will not be the franchise player of the San Diego Chargers. Indianapolis Colts did come to an agreement with Pro Bowl defensive end Robert Mathis, a long-term deal, and that is good news in Indianapolis, regardless of who their quarterback is. It's important, you know, they have one of the more dynamic duos between Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis at defensive end. And these guys are great at getting to the quarterback, a little bit more shaky when it comes to playing the run. They're really pass rush first guys. But certainly as far as pass rushing defensive ends go, these are one of the better duos in the National Football League. And Freeney is the all-time sack record leader for the Colts. Now, of course, sacks have only been kept since 1982. He's got 102.5 in his career. Mathis is second in franchise history with 83.5. And we'll see, but at least, you know, they use the franchise designation, then sign him to a long-term deal. So it means that he'll be staying, essentially, in Indianapolis. And that's good news for Colts fans to at least give them a little bit of continuity and a little bit of strength on defense, especially if they're going to have a rookie quarterback in Andrew Luck behind center. You want a certain amount of continuity on defense under those circumstances. It certainly is a big help to your franchise. A couple of notes, first of all, from the world of Major League Baseball. We mentioned that there was a big-time pitcher making his first mound appearance today in over a year. That is the New York Mets' Johan Santana. He will be pitching in an exhibition game this afternoon. You know, if you're a big Mets fan and you're looking to see the Johan Santana that you saw 2-3 years ago, who was an ace on the mound, don't hold your breath. That's not what you're going to get. He hasn't pitched, you know, in a competitive game in about 18 months, but they're hoping to get 2 innings out of him. Expect, you know, pitches in the 86 to 87 mile an hour range with not a lot of movement, at least not initially, in this first outing. But the best news, I guess, if you're a Mets fan, is just that he's back on the mound and making progress toward returning to the rotation, and the Mets are still hoping to have him ready for opening day. Justin Verlander, he pitched yesterday 2 shutout innings in his first exhibition game. Meanwhile, Albert Pujols playing for the Angels, goes 2-for-3 in his first game during the exhibition season with the L.A. Angels of Anaheim. And one other note from baseball, the Pirates have signed all-star center fielder Andrew McCutchen to a new deal. 25-year-old McCutchen signs a 6-year, $51.5 million deal to stay in Pittsburgh through the 2017 season. There's an option for 2018 that goes with the club, so the Pirates hold that option. Last year, he only hit .259, but he still hit 23 homers, 89 RBIs, and 23 stolen bases, and that .259 was lower, really, than his career stats have been. And McCutchen really is a quality, five-tool kind of a baseball player. And again, from the point of view of baseball, not just Pirate fans, it's good that the Pittsburgh Pirates can keep a talented guy like that in town. So we're going to step out right now and take a little break. We'll come back and talk a little bit of Nashville Predators hockey with Buddy Oakes of Preds on the Glass. So stay with us right here on the SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you could stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
This is the STN Sports Report on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@SportsTalkNetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The STN Sports Report with Brad Kurtzberg starts now.
And welcome back to the STN Sports Report. Brad Kurtzberg, glad to be with you here on this Tuesday afternoon, talking about everything going on in the world of sports. And again, to join the conversation today, the studio line is open. It's 440-579-2531. Or you could send us an email. That address, as always, studio@sportstalknetwork.com. And now I'd like to welcome in our next guest. He is the head writer of PredsOnTheGlass.com, Buddy Oakes. He covers the Nashville Predators. Buddy, how are you today?
Yeah, great. How about you, Brian?
Good, good. Pleasure to have you here on the show. And I tell you, the Nashville Predators, they don't make a lot of noise maybe with the national media, but this year they certainly have been one of the better teams in the National Hockey League, and I think more than anything, that starts in net with Pekka Rinne, and he's got to be, I think, a candidate for the Vezina Trophy and maybe even for the Hart Trophy this year.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely the key to the Predators' success over the last few years. He's one of the best goaltenders in the league. There's no doubt about that. Last year he was slightly overshadowed by the great year that Tim Thomas had, and actually finished fourth in the Hart voting. Most people didn't realize that. That was kind of under the radar, and finished second in the voting for the Vezina. And then this year it looks like the same thing is kind of happening to him that happened last year, except with Henrik Lundqvist having a tremendous year, and also the guy we'll see tonight in goal, hopefully Jonathan Quick, having a good year. So I think those three are probably your Vezina finalists, and Pekka is definitely going to be in the discussion for the Hart.
Absolutely. Now this year at the trade deadline, the Predators did something a little bit different for them. I mean, traditionally they've had trouble holding on to some of their potential big ticket free agents, and they tended to be sellers at the trade deadline. This year they were buyers, and it seems like they're sending a message to their fans, hey, we're going for it this year. We think we can win. What do you think that the trades at the deadline meant, and how are the fan base reacting to it?
I think the fans are extremely excited about it. The Predators have weaknesses they knew were there that they saw over the first part of the season, especially early in October and November when they weren't playing that well. And even going back to the playoffs last year against Vancouver, because Ryan Kessler had the series of his career and one of the best that anybody's had in a playoff in recent years, and he was just able to manhandle the Predators. And they went out and filled the need, picking up Hal Gill and Paul Gostad, a couple of big guys, and also Andre Kostichin, and added a whole lot of size to the team. And not as much a message to the fans as it was that David Poile was sending to Ryan Suter and to Shea Weber that he was serious about getting there this year. He went out and got everything he could possibly get at the trade deadline to give the team the tools to go deeper into the playoffs. And now it's basically in the players' hands, especially Ryan Suter and Shea Weber. They're the to the captains and team leaders, and if they want the Stanley Cup, they've got to lead the team to do it. So that was the message he was sending to them. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
You mentioned Weber and Suter, the two of the better defensemen in the National Hockey League, and questions as to whether or not they're going to stay in Nashville. Have you heard anything as far as either one of them is concerned? Which one do you think is more likely to stay?
Well, it's hard to say. Weber will be an RFA again this coming summer, whereas Ryan Suter can go to July 1st and test the market if he wants to. They both really do like it in Nashville. I know that you hear a lot of lip service from players sometimes, but I think it is genuine, and I think they would like to bring the Stanley Cup here and get in a parade down Laurel Broad there. But they were wanting to see signs from the team that they were going to get additional players and put the team on the ice that does have a chance to go deep. There's the one player that's still out there that they actually could pick up at some point, if not at the end of this season, maybe next year, is Alexander Radulov. And once his team ends the playoffs, I think they're actually ahead 3-1 in their first round right now in the KHL. If they come out of the playoffs, he can actually come back and play without going through waivers or anything else. And if he plays one game during the regular season, he fulfills the requirement of his entry-level contract that pays him like $900,000. And so there is some incentive for him to come back over and play a game and go through the playoffs with them at the end of the year. There's, you know, what type of percentage that is, it's probably maybe 10 or 20%, I'd say, at this point. But there's that out there, and there's also a chance that they can get him to come back and play next year. And I think if Weber and Suter saw that, I think that they would definitely be hanging around a little bit longer, because he's certainly a talented player and seems to have matured since he was here. He was in the doghouse most of the time when he was here because he didn't like playing defense. And I think he does that a little bit more right now. And the three of them, Weber and Suter, were kind of in the same age group and kind of came up through the system together and used to hang out together in their first years here in Nashville when Radulov was over here. So I think a lot of the past problems with being upset when he left and everything, I think that's in the past. Those players are gone. Your Arnotts and Dumonts and people like that aren't here anymore. And I think he would be welcomed back with open arms. So that's something to watch over the horizon.
And Radulov, as you know, is considered by many scouts to be the most talented player not in the National Hockey League right now. And he would add some offensive punch to this team by without question. I mean, he has a very, very strong skill set.
Yes, he would. Right now, the team is built on really balanced scoring. They've got 11 players right now with over 10 goals. There's not really a line that doesn't score.
You mentioned balanced scoring, and you know, while the Predators don't have a 20-goal scorer yet on their roster, 10 players on the team right now have 10 goals or more. I mean, this is really a team that can roll three or four lines at you and just wear you down and get scoring pretty much from any one of their lines.
Yeah, they can. They've got a pretty set first line that they've been playing with Mike Fisher and Erat and Sergei Kostichin. And then the second line and third lines have kind of been interchangeable at times, and then the third and fourth lines have been interchangeable too. And now they're actually carrying 25 players, including 8 people on the blue line right now, post-trade deadline. And the players that are on the team are out there fighting for playing time, and it's really up to competition within the team just to see who's going to get to play every night. And it's going to be they're going to have a lot of fresh players. Being able to rotate like that and being able to keep people involved in the games that aren't playing every night. But Barry Trotz is kind of a master at that. He seems to know when to put the right person in and when they're going to have a good game, and has done real well with that so far this year as well as in past years.
You talked about Hal Gill coming over prior to the trade deadline and how he adds size to the blue line. He also has experience having won a Stanley Cup a couple of years back. What does that experience mean to a young team like the Nashville Predators?
It means a lot. When they dropped the puck in October in the first game, they were the youngest team in the league. I think the Predators and Edmonton were neck and neck as to who was younger, and went back and forth with some call-ups and stuff. But they're still, even with the addition of the three recent players, are a very young team, and they need players that have gone deep and have been there in the playoffs, and they got that with their three additions. And Hal Gill is just, I mean, he's a great addition to the locker room. He's been here now longer than the other two. And we really saw the effect that he had on the game when we played Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, and really just held Ryan Kessler to absolutely nothing. I mean, all the stuff that he normally does to the Predators to disrupt the game, Gill pretty much kept it in check. And another thing that he adds is that he gives Chaver Weber a little bit more freedom to go out there and deal with things as they need to be dealt with. Alexander Burrs is a pest to every team that he plays against, and he was trying to draw Weber into a penalty, and normally Weber probably would have ignored it, but knowing that Hal Gill was there to step in, he just basically picked Burrs up and slammed it to the ice and put an end to all the foolishness that was going on, and that probably wouldn't happen before Hal Gill came in an important game like that against Vancouver, but he had experience and depth in an area where if you want to go on the penalty kill where he and Ryan Feeder can hook up, and you still got a top quality first defensive pairing there.
You talked about the acquisition also of Gallstad, and here's a guy who, you know, he's not going to play first or second line minutes, but he's almost built for the playoffs. He's going to win important faceoffs. He can sort of help shut down the opposing team's top line. Come a seven-game playoff series, he's the kind of player I think you want on your roster.
Yeah, he is. When I was looking down the list before the trade deadline of people that would be really quality people from the ad, he was probably my top pick. We were actually talking about Hal Gill and him on another radio show just minutes before they actually picked up Hal Gill, and I kept talking about Gostad for a couple of weeks, and then they got him, so I was real pleased to see those acquisitions. Predators have had trouble in the faceoff circle this year, one of their weaknesses. And the Friday before the trade deadline, they sent Jared Smithson, who was their top faceoff guy, to Florida. And Gostad came back in after that 2 days later and filled the need with somebody that's probably a better all-around player than Smithson was, and certainly better in the faceoff circle. So they, even though they did get rid of Smithson, they were able to replace him with somewhat of an improvement. So that was a huge addition for him.
How important is it for this young team to try to finish in the top four and maybe get home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, even more important than that, they have got quite a hurdle to overcome to try to get to the top of that Central Division. They're at 83 points right now, and the Blues or at 89 as well as the Red Wings. And whoever ends up in that 4-5 slot, whether it's home ice or not, it's going to be a bloodbath because, I mean, you figure whether the Predators are there playing Detroit or playing St. Louis, those are two very competitive teams and that the Predators are used to playing and used to seeing. And it'll be a battle to the finish. I mean, they always get tied up and two games, overtime games, shootout games. If the Predators and St. Louis hooked up, you could see multiple overtime games in a seven-game series, which would wear on whichever team came out of that going to the second round. So if I had to choose a matchup between those three teams, I think the Predators would much rather play the Red Wings, even though they've had good success against the Blues this year. I think that they would like to play the Red Wings and put them behind them after they've had trouble with them for years. So it'll be interesting to see how those three seeds there shake out.
Yeah, that's going to be a tight race. And why the Red Wings? Because, you know, Detroit obviously has a lot more playoff experience than St. Louis does. If you had a match up against one of those teams, what is it about Detroit that you think the Preds would rather face them?
Since the beginning of the franchise, Detroit has been the Predators' main rival. There's an historical part to that because when the Predators first came to Nashville, there was the Saturn plant 30 miles south there, and a lot of the original season ticket holders were people that had transferred from Detroit. So you had a lot of people called Predwing fans where they were for the Predators every game except when Detroit was in town, and then they'd show up in the red jersey. And that has changed over the years, but Detroit has remained the biggest rival. It's been basically their benchmark. You go back to 1998 in Detroit, it's been the best franchise day in and day out in the Western Conference. And the Predators have always benchmarked themselves against that and usually come out second every year, finishing behind the Wings. And they have had a couple of playoff series with them and had relatively good success. And I think they'd really like to have another one and put the Wings behind them and move on to the second round.
Interesting way to look at it. And, you know, there have been some people who have been critical of the idea of hockey in the South and in quote-unquote non-traditional hockey markets. We're more than a decade into the Predators' existence. How would you say the team has done as far as integrating itself into the culture of Nashville and the surrounding area?
I think that during the years when the team was owned by Craig Leopold, the marketing was kind of halfway done and didn't have the dollars behind it and everything else. Since he sold the team to local ownership, before last season they brought in Jeff Cogan from Dallas and John Henry from Tampa Bay, both of whom had experience in non-traditional type markets. And they've just completely turned the marketing totally around. This year they've had 17 sellouts. They're on pace to get up and break the all-time record of 20 sellouts and are playing at 97% capacity. So they've done everything they can do to get people in the building, but after the playoffs last year when they went to the second round, the buzz really changed, and the Predators are probably as popular, if not more so, than the Titans. So in football country, where football is a sport that goes on 365 days a year, that's saying a lot, but the Predators have finally broken through that and have truly become Nashville's team. The phrase Smashville has really caught on, and people that don't know anything about hockey like going to the games and are keeping up with what's going on every day. So it's been a real breakthrough the last few years.
Great to hear that. Now, coming down the stretch now, we have about 15, 16 games left on the regular season schedule. What are the keys for the Predators to make a strong finish and head into the playoffs with the best possible outcome?
Well, they're going to have to play well on the road. They've done okay on the road so far this year. At home, they've been unbelievable. They're 17-2-2 at home in their last 21 games, and they've played okay on the road. They've played better than some of the other teams in the division on the road. They're 17-13-2, and have played better since the first of the year. So they're going to have to win some games on the road. They're going to have to keep dominating at home. And going to have to stay healthy. So far, they've been lucky this year. They've only had 119 days out compared to, I think, last year they were over 300. So they do have depth to cover for injuries, but they need to play well and stay healthy and win some games.
And as far as a prediction is concerned, how far into the playoffs do you think this Nashville Predators team can go?
If they produce on the ice the way the team is built, there's no reason to think that they couldn't make it at least to the Western Conference Finals and maybe even further than that. They don't really have any weaknesses that really stand out, and it's just a matter of putting everything together and winning games. And if they do that, they could go all the way. There's a lot of people outside of Nashville that recognize that, and I don't think anybody wants to play them in the first round.
Oh, I agree with you there. I mean, one thing about the Predators, and this was even true last season, and they're better this year than they were last year, you might end up winning a series against them, but they're going to take every ounce of energy and commitment that you have. They are a tough team to play against.
Yeah, they are. That's the Barry Trotz way. I mean, you fight for every inch of the ice and play the puck into the corners and against the wall and everything else, and it wears down. They'll hit you, and they'll run you up and down the ice, and that's Predator hockey, as they like to call it, and they just like to be hard to play against, and coming into the building here in Nashville, it's a tough place to play. So if they get home ice advantage, it'll help, but they're hard to play anywhere.
Absolutely. Well, Buddy Oakes from Preds on the Glass, thank you so much for joining us today.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
All right, so Nashville Predators hockey, and you know, that's one of the franchises that, you know, because it's a small market, non-traditional team, maybe doesn't get as much ink across the hockey world as some of the other teams out there, but I'm telling you, Nobody wants to face the Nashville Predators in the playoffs this year. And if that team can go, let's say, at least to the conference finals this year, and they're one of the teams in the West, there's maybe five teams in the West, I think, that are really good candidates to go that far. If the Predators can get there, they might find a way to keep those two defensemen, Weber and Suter, both in Nashville long term, and that would bode so well for this franchise. They've already locked up Pekka Rinne, their sensational goalie, long term. If they can lock up both of those defensemen long term, this team could be really, really good for a really, really long time. Well, that's going to do it for us right here on the STN Sports Report. Want to thank our guests, Aileen Voisin from the Sacramento Bee and Buddy Oakes of Preds on the Glass, for joining us today. And I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their Tuesday. And we'll be back right here on the STN Sports Report, keeping you up to date with everything in the world of sports. So stay with us all week long right here. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your Tuesday, everybody.